Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Here with Metatron Power and Light. We'd like to thank everyone for all the positive emails and responses to our music. Our music can be found on Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, and all digital outlets, and is featured on Night Dreams Talk Radio with Gary Anderson.
We recognize each other. Metatron Power and Light is a band that deals with esoteric subjects, the paranormal, and other topics that engage the spirit and mind. Visit MetatronPowerAndLight.com to learn more.
We are facing a time of great change, and the future is unwritten. But when we come together and seek answers, we expand our awareness until we begin to see the unseen. Uncovering secrets allows us to develop the knowledge we will need to shape our future and control our destiny.
Stay safe, stay indoors, and listen to us.
The views, opinions, and representations expressed on the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network and its website are those of the hosts, guests, and participants, and are not necessarily those of or endorsed by the network, its affiliated stations and broadcasts, the management, other hosts, or advertisers of the network. The shows found on the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network can, but do not necessarily, promote any particular lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practice. These shows are for entertainment purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, and or claim any cure of disease or condition or give any medical or legal advice. Coming to you from some far point station, like a cosmic tumbleweed, both north and south of the Pleiades, here's your host, Gary Anderson.
Well, good morning, afternoon, depending on your time zone. We are coming from the West Coast in a little city called Gig Harbor, Washington. From my compound to you, I hope you've had a great day. I hope everybody's going to have a great weekend that's coming up. Don't forget, we're going to be off tomorrow, but running a replay. Make sure you check our website out at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. If you're not watching us on YouTube, you're missing Wild Me. So you might want to check that out. All you have to do is go to YouTube, type in Night Dreams Talk Radio, and there we are. Well, you know what? They're saying that in the next year or two, we're going to be at the tipping point with the climate. The temperatures are going to go up another degree and a half. What does that mean? Well, degree and a half to me really doesn't mean much, but does it? As you know, California is in a major drought. It's only going to get worse. And then Texas is in the same way, that they're worried this summer their wells and all the water is going to dry up. That's what happens when the temperature just keeps increasing. Antarctica, as you know, keeps, you know, melting and you know, the water is invading the groundwater, you know, on the East Coast. World's biggest ice cube, yeah, is floating out in the ocean right now. We're talking miles and miles of a big iceberg. I call it an ice cube. Anyway, tonight, we've got a great show. We're going to be talking about spirits that are being captured on a Polaroid camera and Polaroid film. Right after the break, we'll be talking about that. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You can advertise your business on Night Dreams Talk Radio, and you will be heard worldwide. Why not contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com?
From the compound in beautiful Gig Harbor, Washington, Night Dreams Talk Radio presents your host, Gary Anderson.
Hey, that is me on Night Dreams Talk Radio. A shout out to Matthew out of the UK, Travis, Barb, and everybody else out there is listening to the show. James, why don't you tell us a little bit about our guest tonight?
Our guest tonight, John Huckert, is an American filmmaker who is known for living in one of the more famous haunted houses, which is called the Polaroid House, where many a Polaroid picture with ghost writing has appeared on film.
Very, very interesting. And you know, Polaroid is one of the hardest, well, put it this way, a digital camera, you can fake the images. Even a film camera, it's not that hard to fake images. Polaroid cameras and Polaroid film is virtually impossible. John, how are you doing? And I hope you're having a great week.
Oh, I am. I'm having a great week.
Well, so, why don't you tell listeners a little bit about yourself, John?
Well, let me see. Well, I've been making films for many, many, many years, and I do a lot of independent, well, all independent. I'm an independent guerrilla filmmaker, and I have had weird paranormal experiences throughout my life. I usually don't ever share them, and I never really planned on sharing them. But when the Polaroid started, which was back in 1992, sightings heard about it, and next thing you know, sightings came out here and did a show on it, and then it kind of exploded after that. We turned down most shows. There's a few shows we did, but it's like they just, they kept wanting to come and the only reason we'd allow people in the house is we want to examine, like help them, help us figure out what is going on here. Anyway, I'll tell you what's going on here real quick. Back in 92, I've been living here for almost 2 years. And my roommate, John Makowski, it's his house, and he's lived here since the early 80s. And people who have stayed with him and lived here or visited have always said there's something going on here. There's some weird energy or whatever. People have heard things and seen things. But John, his name's also John, he would always ignore it. He would always, like blinders on. He doesn't want to hear about it because it can be kind of spooky. So when I moved in, I knew something was up here. But, you know, you just learn to live with it. But then I had gotten a Polaroid camera for Christmas from my dad back east. And this was March of 92. I was sitting here alone. I was working on a script, and the bathroom door opened, and I thought, well, that's kind of weird, and I felt like a weird energy, so I got up, and I aimed the camera towards the bathroom door and took a picture, and there was nothing on it, so I felt really stupid. I went and shut the bathroom door, and I sat back down. I started working, and then I just started feeling this weird, tingly, like sunburny kind of feeling. And I looked up, and the bathroom door opened again. So I grabbed the camera, but I was so nervous that I accidentally, like, pushed the button before I even got anywhere near the door, and I got a picture of the top of a TV set, sort of an out-of-focus shot. And then I thought, okay, calm down. This is nothing, probably. And then I took a picture. And in that picture, that was the very first one, it was sort of like a ghost, but a wispy ghost, but it was like either really scary or really funny because it's so stereotypical of a spooky ghost. You know, it has like eyes and a wide open mouth and screaming, like sort of like the Scream mask. You remember the mask from that horror film Scream?
Oh, I remember that.
Like that.
Yeah.
So that kind of, I wasn't sure how to respond, so I took a couple more pictures. They're really interesting. And when Makowski got home from work, I said, let me show you what happened today. And I showed him. He's like, oh, this is so cool. How'd you do it? And I said, well, I took this picture and da-da-da. And he goes, well, you'd go over there and let me take a picture of you. And he took a picture of me, and there was this weird amorphous blob over top of me. And then the bathroom door opened again, because in that shot, the door had been shut. And then we took another picture, and it's one of my all-time favorites of the thousands and thousands of photographs we have now, is of this weird hovering light thing, sort of hovering in the doorway. It's absolutely beautiful.
Is it like an orb? John, is it like an orb type of thing? Or?
No, this one looks more like a... it's almost like if you wrapped a body up in gauze and had it hover in the room and then made it glow. That's what it looks like to me. We've gotten orbs before. We capture those mostly on video, but the Polaroids do their own thing. But the thing that makes it unique is that this whole experience changed me profoundly on what I didn't even really believe in ghosts. Henry, Sorry, my dog's barking. I didn't really believe in ghosts, and then this thing started, and then I thought, well, my idea of a ghost is sort of something that imprints on the landscape. So, like, if you see, like, someone standing there sort of, like, wispy or whatever, and they sort of move across the hall or whatever, it's going to happen over and over again because that's the imprint, sort of like an old tape recording or something.
Like a replay over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's kind of constantly replaying, but it's sort of like it's there, but it's a presence, but it has no thought behind it. But in June, we decided to finally, after taking, I don't know, several dozen pictures, I guess, at that point, we thought, you know what, we should tell somebody, because literally John and I had told no one about it. So we invited over some friends, and we're showing them these pictures and say, this is what's going on. And then one of our friends said, well, is he here now? And then somebody else said, well, let's see. And they grabbed the camera and they actually took a picture of me standing there. But it had the sort of the...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ectoplasmic like form, but it looked a little off. And then when you suddenly sort of looked in the negative space, you see that it said yes. So we thought, well, what? Yes? Wait a minute. Who asked something? And he said, well, we asked, are you here now? And it said yes. And then it was like the floodgates at that point. Everybody's asking questions and like, who are you and what's your name and how are you here and did you die and on and on and on. And then that's when, soon after that, sightings got involved with it, and then it just kept going from there.
Boy, that's scary. Now, is it a male or female, or is it more than one spirit?
Well, from what I understand, I don't know if you know who Peter James is, but he was kind of a big deal back in the 90s, especially on, like, the sighting shows. But he said there's in the house, he said there's like 7 full-time spirits, and then there's a bunch of, he said we sort of have Grand Central Station for spirits, and he said there's an entry point and an exit point, which oddly enough, over the years, all the different psychics and everybody point to the same areas where it enters and exits, and I'm like, they all go to the same textbook that tells them where the entry and exit things are, or they're actually picking up something. But Peter said there's 7 full-time. He said only one of them is communicating through writing, and that is Wright. The name of the spirit is Wright. And we don't know if it's a spirit. We don't know if it's a... Some people say guardian angel. Some people say it was somebody who lived before.
Well, have you
I don't know.
Have you guys tried it? Was the cabin new when your friend, you know, moved in? Or was it there before? Okay. Has anybody checked it to see, you know, if somebody died in that cabin or that property, you know, before the cabin was built? What was maybe there before?
We have traced it back to the early 1900s. We know the house was built sometime around 1925, at least part of it was. It's been added on to through the years. We did get a list of some of the people who own the property, and just recently a friend of mine got a hold of a list of people through a whole different research thing, which, you know, wasn't available back in the 90s. I mean, we had to go to the Hall of Records and that sort of thing. Now you just go on the internet. But they started discovering people who actually lived here as opposed to who owned the property. Peter James said that there was a dead body under the house. He showed us right where it was, and excuse me, what?
I just kind of like shivered there when you said a dead body under the place.
Well, he would stake his reputation and everything he knows as a psychic that there was a body buried in this one specific place, And the problem is, through the years, we have tried and tried and tried to get to that area, and short of literally tearing up the whole middle of the house, we have not successfully done it. Even when Fact or Fake came out to do the show, the reason we agreed to do the show, and of course I ended up becoming really good friends with Bill Murphy from that show, but the reason we agreed to do it is we wanted them to bring out ground-penetrating radar to see if we could figure out what's going on. And they did find some weird shapes and things like that, but so far we still don't know if there's a body indeed under the house.
That it would be scary. You know, I'm going to just tell you something real fast here. When I was a kid, my grandparents lived on Whidbey Island. I don't know if you know where that is, in Washington State. They moved from Whidbey Island. They rented a house in an area, a small house. And they were in it for a year. And my grandmother would come over, you know, every weekend to play cards and stuff. And they would talk about things in the kitchen was moving always. You know, she was a real nut of keeping, you know, the place clean. And, you know, like the dishes would be moved. You know, things in the sink, you know, would be moved. It was strange. She said things were constantly moving around and they would hear weird noises. And this went on to a point where they couldn't take it anymore. You know, just
really?
Like, yeah, it was weird. Weird smells would come through the house. They, you know, and I remember being over there, and it was horrible smells. Well, after they moved out, another tenant moved in because it was a rental house. He was there for a while. Something happened where they had to go underneath the house. There's one of the houses that was built where they had a crawl space between the ground and the bottom of the floor. And they found a blanket with chains wrapped around it. Well, one of the prior tenants that was there, or the owner of the house, like I really don't remember all the story, murdered his wife and put her, wrapped her up in the blanket and put her underneath the house.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that is really, you know, scary. So it tells me maybe that you might have a body in underneath that place. And that's maybe why this stuff was going on.
Mm-hmm. I do know in one of the photographs they got, actually the sightings people got when they were here, it said something about a murder victim, and that he was a murder victim. But that's, you know, I mean, you can only ask so many questions, but literally I feel we've asked thousands and thousands and thousands of questions, and we still don't know who he is. We have suggestions. There's a guy named Joe Augustine who recently wrote a book on our house called Ghost Rider, The Polaroid Ghost. And, it's an excellent book. But in it, he comes up with his theory on who he thinks Wright is. And I was rather shocked when I read it. But, we don't know anything for sure. By the way, Dan Aykroyd heard about it, and he actually wrote a preface to the book, which I thought was really quite cool.
Oh, interesting. Now, you mentioned the Polaroid cameras, and you make films, documentaries-type film, indie-type films?
More independent. I've made over, like 90 films at this point. All different kinds. I've done documentaries. I do thrillers. I did a serial killer picture back in the mid-90s that got some notoriety. Then I did a bunch of stuff for, like, Roger Corman, things like Dino Croc. If you ever watch sci-fi, that was their number one film like 15 years ago. And they made a bunch of sequels to it. So that's sort of what I do.
Well, you mentioned video too. Does anything weird show up on video cameras or digital cameras or anything in that cabin?
We've had a lot of weird digital stuff, but we've never ever shared it publicly. And the reason we don't is because it started after, like, Polaroid went out of business and they stopped making film. And, you know, we hoarded as much as we could possibly get everybody to buy for us.
You know how expensive.
But at some point that ran out.
Yeah, and you know that's expensive too. Polaroid film was, very expensive.
Well, that was one of the things we were so excited about, sightings coming here and subsequent shows, is they bring like a designated like guard, and they bring boxes and boxes and boxes all in this giant unit. And before anything was like, they would like inspect everything, and it was so fun because it was so like scientific the way everything was approached. And the reason we loved it is because it was like free film. And we always had to deal with anybody who comes over, because, like, for example, the Orange County Psychic Association came over, and they all brought Polaroid cameras. There was seven of them or eight of them. And I remember at one point, and the deal is this, if anybody gets a Polaroid, whether it's their film, their camera, whatever, it belongs to the house. So that way we can keep control of, like, what we get in the communication and relate photos to each other and stuff. And I remember one time they were here, and another thing that happens is batteries run out, and like instantly, like a freshly charged battery will just go dead. But another thing that happens is cameras jam. And I remember we've done things with multiple cameras. One time, all seven of the Polaroid cameras jammed at the same time, all of them.
Wow.
So there's obviously an energy here that's trying to communicate something at that point. So that was rather interesting.
Now, the Polaroid type cameras, there were a couple different types. The ones that would spit out, you know, the image, mm-hmm. or the one that would spit it out and it had the negative, or the positive, I should say, with the print that you peeled apart. What type were you guys
using?
This
wasn't that. This was the Polaroid Spectra camera,
okay.
which I thought was interesting. It was called Spectra because it's like Spectre. And that seems to be the only one. Other Polaroids don't work. And subsequently, they've sort of re-put back the Impossible Project, put back Polaroids and stuff. They have completely discontinued only the Spectra camera. But the film that they make, apparently the chemicals they used to make the original Polaroid are now illegal. And so all the Polaroid cameras now use a different operating system. And my theory is, whatever that chemical was, I don't know why it's illegal now, but whatever it was, it had a way of somehow, like, attracting the energies here, or somehow it allowed it to expose itself on film. I don't know how, but I think if they could investigate that chemical, I think they might find it could be used for research as to, you know, what went on here for many years. I was telling you about the digital. The reason we don't share it is, one, because now there's Photoshop and people can manipulate things. And the stuff we have is, some of it's startling to look at, but it doesn't matter. We don't get writing anymore. We get all kinds of amazing things, but it's so hard to explain to people. And as we've always said, you know, if you want to believe it, you believe it. If you don't, you don't. That's fine. We're not out to prove anything to anybody. This is our experience. And, you know, you have people that, you know, wholeheartedly believe, and then you have people that are completely skeptical, and everybody in between. So I do know Bill Murphy set up this thing back in, I think it was 2013. He wanted people that he had been in touch with through the years to have a chance to experience his house. So he set up this thing called the Ghost Rider Experience, and people would meet at this place called the Dearly Departed, which is a place in Hollywood in which they drive around to locations of, like, murders and, you know, things like that. And we had allowed them to have a bunch of the Polaroids framed, like a sort of like a museum, and so people could come in and see the pictures, and Bill would talk to them about it. Then they would get on a bus. We did this for two nights over Halloween. They get on a bus and they came over the house, and I gave a really brief presentation about our dog and how our dog responded to the house, because it was pretty amazing to see. And then I just, you know, let people do what they wanted to do. And it was so much fun, because a lot of the people were really firm believers, and a number of them were very skeptical. But they ended up, you know, they were all taking pictures. I explained that if they get something, it belongs to the house. But the film that they got, people were, like, combing the Internet, trying to find if anybody had anything on eBay or something. And they did find some film. But over the two nights, we got three pictures. And one said dig, and one said here, and one said, one was a picture of a shadow person, which we've seen for years, and never, ever, once, ever have we gotten a picture of a shadow person. So those are the last three Polaroids we got, and that was, I think, 2013.
Interesting. But you had, you know, dig here on one of them?
I'm sorry, what did it say again?
You said you had one of them that said dig here?
We had one that said dig, and then on the next night, actually, I think here was the first one that came up. I didn't find out till a couple of days after because Bill collected all the pictures from everybody, and he was going through them. Though one of them, we thought the camera was out of film, and it turned out it had jammed. So when it ejected, it said dig. So that was really fascinating. And then had one that said here, and then the third one was the one of the shadow person.
Now, what type of writing was it? Was it like printing or cursive? What type of writing?
It's, I call it ghost font, because it's sort of like this amorphous light, like sort of shaped into letters. And sometimes, like in the original one that said, when we asked his name and he said Wright, so we just started calling him Wright, and people would talk out loud to the room and ask questions and stuff. But in 2013, a mother-daughter team came up, and the daughter looked at the photograph, and in some 21 years, nobody had seen anything but the word Wright. The daughter goes, doesn't it say Jake above Wright? Is his name Jake Wright? And it, you can sort of see it. It looks like they're, I'm not sure if it says it or not, but it was just fascinating all these years later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That someone looking at it with new eyes saw something else, saw something different.
Interesting.
But what it became known for is that you could come into the house and ask, God, as many questions as you wanted, and if everything was right, if the feeling's right or whatever, it would answer you. But you could ask questions in your head, like just think what it is you want to know, and he will answer you.
Okay. And now, John, we need to go yeah. on break. This break's going to be about 2.5 minutes long. We're going to come back and ask you some more questions about this cabin and what is going on there. And this is interesting. We'll be back. So everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio.
You and I living in the strangest of times on my hill, watching while the cities rise from the collapse that we left when the sun beat it down. Rise and fall like rain.
Stay safe, stay indoors, and listen to us.
You can advertise your business on Night Dreams Talk Radio, and you will be heard worldwide. Why not contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com?
Do you have a paranormal story you want to share on Night Dreams Talk Radio? You could be a guest. Email us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com.
Good evening, or morning, depending on your time zone. From the Pacific to the Atlantic to you worldwide, get yourself a cup of Java and find a comfy, easy chair. And get ready for Gary and his guest on Night Dreams Talk Radio, After Dark. And now, here's Gary.
And here I am. Well, we're talking about this haunted cabin, which, well, people would take pictures with Polaroid cameras, and you would get images. John, we're back on the air.
Hi.
Yeah. Again, I got to ask you, where is the setting of this cabin? Is it in a city, town, or is it out in the country?
It's in Los Angeles, and it's in the suburbs of Los Angeles, but it's sort of like a little cabin in the woods, but in the suburbs. But luckily, you can't see the house from the street or anything. So,
interesting. Now, you were also talking like the bathroom, a door would swing open, and you were telling me before you went on the air that it would be almost impossible before you fix that door for it to open up, and the reason why it was dragging on the floor. How often would that door open up?
Well, it would do it like it's just sporadically, but sometimes people would be here, and it's just funny when it does it and there's people here and they just look at each other. I mean, it scares people sometimes. In fact, a lot of people have been scared over this house. In fact, my own sister will not come back here. But I think it's only because of her interpretation of what's going on. I've lived here for many years, and I have found once you get used to all the quirks of the house that it's very supportive and encouraging. And like back in the 60s, apparently the actor Bill Dana owned it for a while. And I do know one of the Beach Boys used to come here and smoke dope a lot. I'm convinced that he got the inspiration for Pet Sounds from this house, because it has a way of sort of creating an environment where you feel incredibly creative. The Beatles also used to come up and down our street. They would visit this nearby hotel that nobody knows existed. It's now a meditation center. But I would not be surprised if the Beatles came over here, or even Charlie Manson, for that matter. I don't know any of that for a fact. The only thing I do know is that one of the Beach Boys used to come here. But that's the only thing I know for sure. Everything else is me speculating, and maybe it was some wishful thinking, because I love the idea of him being nearby here.
Oh, yeah. You know? Now, Bill Dana, the one I'm trying to think of, now, was that the actor? It was kind of, you know, wasn't a major actor, but, you know, did, you know, secondary roles, you know, yeah, in the 40s and the 50s and early 60s, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about him. I remember what he looked like, but I'd have to really look him up to see what, you know, he was on, I guess, TV shows and movies and stuff, but I don't remember much about him, but I know the name. You know.
Interesting. Now, how about, does it, like, when you're sleeping at night, do you get any weird dreams or anything?
Oh, sure. But, I mean, that happens to everybody.
Well, yeah, but a lot of times when a house is haunted or possessed, or there are spirits or guardian angels or whatever, people get kind of, like, strange dreams. You know, because I'm going to go back to, like, my grandmother and my grandfather. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother claimed that she thought somebody was buried in that house. And, you know, like I said, when they moved out, you know, was like a month later, they were arresting the owner of the house for murder. Oh, wow. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, somebody was reaching out to her. Evidently by moving, like I said, all the dishes and moving stuff in the kitchen and all that stuff. So yeah. I'm just wondering if anybody's been reaching out that way in that cabin.
Well, I do know we have, there is a lot of like weird kind of, I want to say poltergeist activity, though I say that with caution because I don't, my belief system isn't quite there yet with it, but I do know there is unusual things and things do disappear, but that can be normal. But I know my niece, I had a picture of my sister and her, all her kids and everything on the refrigerator. There were separate pictures of them in like those you know, glasses with the fake mustache. It was like a thing the family did as sort of a comedy thing. Well, my niece ended up committing suicide, and right after she did that, her magnet kept flying off the refrigerator into the middle of the room. So I ended up taking all the magnets down. I put them in a drawer. Whenever you'd open the drawer, her magnet would somehow fling itself out into the middle of the room. So then I'd had it over by the desk, and it was always falling on the floor. And I still have it to this date because it's like, I think she's, like, a lot of people think it might have been an accidental suicide. I mean, the circumstances were a little odd surrounding the thing. But I feel like that's her way of communicating, saying, you know, I'm still here in some form. You know what I mean? But the only thing, I think the super scary stuff is that a couple of us here in the house at different times have had the sleep paralysis thing. And that is, if you've ever had it, that is utterly terrifying. It's like you're laying there and you can't move and you feel like this force pressing down on you, but it's only happened a couple of times to a couple of people, and it happened to me, and it was terrifying. But I don't associate that with, like, say, Wright or the pictures or anything. I think that could be that some of the transient spirits that come through this house, I think some of them are dark, and I think occasionally something like that will happen. That's my theory.
Yeah, I wonder, no offense, I wonder if the actor, something happened, you know, in that cabin at one point or something. Ground penetrating radar has come a long way since when you had it done. You know, maybe somebody can step up and do another, you know, checking. Now, is that cabin, is it built onto the ground or is there a walkway underneath the flooring or how is it?
No, it's sort of built almost onto the ground. There is a slight crawl space, but it's the place where the body is like 6 or 8 inches. It's like really hard to get to. I do know in the back there was like all these stones and like a sort of a patio, a very old patio. And in some of the cement there, it says there was a handprint handprints and footprints of a little boy, and it said Dean 44. I thought, Dean, who's that? So, I mean, is it James Dean? Who could it be? But it was somebody who was a kid in, I'm guessing, in 1944, and clearly had very tiny, you know, maybe an 8-year-old or something, or 10-year-old, I don't know.
It was James Dean. You know, he died in a horrible car accident. And,
what, 55, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. So if he would have, if it had been 11 years later, he'd be 19, or he could have been, when did he die? How old was he, like 22 or something? Or
yeah, I know he was just in a couple movies, and he was,
He made three movies.
Yeah. And he pretty much died after the last one.
He had just done, the week before, done an ad on driving safely.
Yeah.
And he was driving safely, but a farmer didn't see him coming and pulled in front of him. And so it technically wasn't his fault, you know.
But there was nothing left of his vehicle, virtually. That was horrible.
Yeah. But the thing that was weird is that the guy in the car with him survived. you know. So, yeah, I thought about that, and I thought, but would he write as a child? Would he write Dean, or would he write like Jimmy or James, or you know what I mean? That's what seemed weird. He would write Dean, but anyway, I don't even know if that's associated or not. But there is back where that is where we've had one of our dogs like will not go. He literally loses the ability to walk. Like if you throw a frisbee in there, he cannot go in there. And if he forces himself, he literally has to drag himself back out. It's the weirdest thing you've ever seen. I have it on video because when I show people, they're always like so shocked. It's clear there's some essence there of energy that's doing something.
Well, hey, James, can you jump in here for a minute?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You know, if he has all these spirits coming, he had these writings on the Polaroid, the door opens up, the magnet's going on the floor, all this stuff, you know, going on. You know, my feeling is maybe there's more than one body could be buried on that property, especially if the dog is scared to go into an area.
Definitely. Not only that, some of those spirits are definitely trying to communicate or reach out or convey some kind of message in the best ways they know how, because I'm sure not all of them could write on Polaroids, maybe try to get your attention by throwing that magnet, you know? That's what right. It sounds like they're trying to do. And if there is unrest spirits there, more bodies like you're saying, Gary, very much so there's some unrest.
Well, it's very strange because, you know, we have a lot of dogs. We got a mini farm with animals. And if you got a dog, you know, normally it'll go anywhere. I mean, seriously. And, you know, if it's scared to go into, you know, a certain area, then I would be...
Well, this was a border collie. And the other interesting thing about it was the place where the dead body is supposed to be buried under the house, the dog could not walk across that area. He would come up to it, and then he would, like... He'd do two things. One, he would, like, leap over it like it was a giant hole in the floor. Or he would walk backwards in a semicircle around it. He would walk backwards. And if you've seen a dog walking backwards, it's very slow and deliberate. And but he would not, he never would, like, go in that area. He would not step in that area. And it's in the middle of the living room. It's just like, you know, it's not like... it's some dark little space. It's just right there in the middle of the living room. And for some reason, that dog, the other dogs have never picked up on anything like that. But the Border Collies are very, very smart dogs. And he seemed to, sometimes he would just sit there and stare into the hallway where we got the first picture and just stare. Or sometimes he'd start barking and he'd just stare.
Interesting. What's your, James, again, what do you think it may be going on?
I would say, from everything I've heard and what I've seen, I would say there's probably what some people would call probably a portal or something going on there where you're getting stuff coming and going throughout the years. Because it seems like it's not just one spirit. You got different spirits coming in and you got different things going on. You know, from the throwing of the magnets and everything else, I would try to maybe see if you can bring somebody in, see what they need. There's some kind of unrest there, or like the one guy said, maybe a paranormal highway going on there because there's just a lot going on.
Well, James, if somebody was murdered in that house and buried underneath it, could that open up a portal where these, you know, spirits could come through?
Oh, absolutely. Any kind of a high energy, emotional trauma or event like that could definitely open something up. Absolutely.
So he could have a little highway going for that cabin.
I think so. That's what it sounds like. And the thing is, unless you can find and close that, you could have anything coming through there. You just never know, good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah.
Well, hey, John, when you had people coming in investigating it, what did those people, you know, mediums and psychics, what did they get? What type of feeling were they getting in that cabin?
Everyone gets something really intense. A lot of the psychics tend to feel the same sense of energy where it comes from the hallway into the kitchen, the same pattern of movement. I know that in the original sightings, they did not air this whole segment because I'm not completely sure why, but Peter James is going on and on about almost the equivalent of an Indian burial ground, but it was like an Indian cave or cavity that was under the house that housed things, spirits and body remains and things like that. And of course, sightings said, well, there were no Indians in that area, and it turns out, we found out quite a few years later, that there were indeed Indians in this area, like right in this area. But then one of the guys, like, I don't know how much I believe in some of this stuff, like channeling and stuff,
uh-huh.
but this guy channeled what he claimed was an Indian spirit, and he was speaking in some kind of language. We got it all on video, which is really cool. In fact, Hulu's doing a documentary on it right now. They're doing like a feature-length documentary on this house. And they've interviewed, got something like 20 people who've had experiences here over the years and who've sort of evolved with the house. And that footage will finally get to be seen by more than just a few of us. But at one point, he actually collapses on the floor, and I thought he died. And my first feeling was, oh, he picked up somebody dead in the house, but he hadn't died yet. he's dying right now. But he ended up not dying, thank God. We've had EVPs done here. And one thing we haven't done is hold an actual, like, seance or anything. And I asked Dan Aykroyd if he might want to, because he's really into that sort of thing, and I asked him if he might want to do a seance here sometime. I think that would be fascinating to see. Like, I'm sort of a skeptical believer, if that makes sense. Like, I always, like, even though I've had miraculous things happen here, and I believe in every one of them, but at the same time, I still keep looking for, like the smoking gun. Finding a body under the house would be a smoking gun. Now that you brought up more than one body, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's what's out back. Maybe where that thing is in that little area out there where the dog won't go, maybe there's a body under there. There is a weird shape that's a cemented. There's like all these stones and everything, and then there's this weird area. It's sort of in the shape of a square that's just pure cement. I'm like, well, why didn't they put a stone there? Why would they do it that way? And there might be a rational explanation, but it doesn't make sense to me.
How big a slab is that cement, roughly?
How what?
How big is that slab of cement?
Oh, I mean, it's small. It's about the size of a little bit larger than maybe an album. Remember albums back before CDs?
Oh, yeah. I used to own a record store at one point in my life. I know what they made good frisbees at one point.
But it's sort of that size, and but it's all surrounded with, like, you know, this like slaty type rock stuff that is clearly, you know, 80 or 90 years old.
Well, my recommendation to you, John, is if anybody comes out again to investigate the house and they got ground, you know, penetrating radar, not just check the house. Go out and check the rest of the property. Maybe you might have multiple bodies there. Because, you know, one case I had was a retired state police detective. He investigates, you know, the paranormal. And these people were getting a lot of strange things going on in their property. They lived right next to a cemetery. They brought in ground penetrating radar and found out from their patio door onward, there was like 4 or 5 bodies buried in their backyard.
Oh, wow.
That would be scary. Wow.
Well, I do know out front, Peter had suggested we dig. And we did. And we dug up this giant, like, cement-like box. Except it's like maybe 12 feet long and 3 feet wide and maybe 1.5 feet deep, and it was filled with artifacts from like the 1920s and stuff, and we thought, well, maybe it's like a watering thing for horses or something, And then somebody said, well, maybe it's like a cellar for vegetables, even though it's out in the open. But something clearly was there, and it's not on any building records anywhere. So I have a feeling whatever went on here probably went on like maybe 120 years ago or something, and has been probably covered up. And that's why they built the house right over whatever could be there if there is a body. But I don't know.
Well, how about other strange things? Have you seen anything like you put your keys down and all of a sudden you can't find your keys and you find it in a different location? Or things moving around at all in that cabin?
Oh, constantly. And the thing that gets me, it's not just them showing up in a different location. What's really frustrating is when they show up right where you knew they were, but they're not there. And then 20 minutes later, they're there. It's like, okay, they're messing with me. I know they're messing with me, but I don't know why. So I tend to think, I tend to think it's keeping you from doing something for a reason. Like, I do know there was an accident here recently, and had I been like 30 seconds ahead, I would have been in the accident. You know what I mean? Like, I just missed it. And so I tend to think that maybe it's a form of protection. These are all just purely speculative, but I tend to, because of the experiences over the years, I tend to be very positive about my outlook on stuff. And I am inspired by it to work on things and to write scripts. I've written 47 screenplays. That's a lot of screenplays.
Oh, and yeah.
It's because of being inspired by this thing. And a bunch of them are films already, and a bunch of them are going to be films. They're coming up. So,
Well, you know what would be is kind of scary, though, when at the beginning of the show, you mentioned that the one image you got, it looked like that, was it a girl or a guy? That scream, you know, that spirit, it was scary.
Yeah, have you seen the image?
I remember it, yes.
Okay, because it's like when you look at it, it's either, it is really scary or really funny, like, oh my God, is that what a ghost thinks a ghost looks like to us or something? And then on the other hand, it's like, God, if that is screaming, oh my God, what horror is this thing going through? So you go back and forth with it. You know, some people like I had a friend of mine from high school call me up and just after the sighting show aired and said, what kind of cheese you got to go with that bologna? They didn't buy it for a second. And then subsequently, as they see more shows, and they just got the book that Joe Augustine wrote, and now they're like a firm believer in it. They're like so such a 180. I mean, you know, they went through a whole process, and people do. Some people believe, some people don't, and everywhere in between. I know another highly skeptical friend of mine ended up staying here for 2 weeks. And by the time he wouldn't turn the lights off, I mean, he kept seeing things and feeling things and picking things up, and just at some point was like he did not want anybody to leave him alone in the house by himself. I mean, it's a small house. And, you know, it's like if you're spooked, yeah, it can be really scary. But when people are here, you somehow feel protected. So.
You do.
Anyway, he's a believer now. He didn't used to be.
Well, our time is virtually up here. John, do you have a website or anything where people can trace you down?
Well, we do have a place where, like, if anybody's interested in Joe's book, it's ghostpolaroids.com, and it really is a fascinating book. Bill Murphy did the intro. Dan Aykroyd wrote the preface to it, and it's highly intelligent and brings up all kinds of amazing theories. And it also, for the first time, we did a book years ago as a tribute to Peter James, which had like 40-some pictures in it so people could see it. But this one has over 150 photographs, and it also shows analysis of them. For example, we'll show like a photo, and then we'll show what happens when you look at it in a mirror. And then when you turn it, say, 160 degrees, and then you turn it and look at it in the mirror, because each way has a different communication, sometimes all in the same photograph. So it kind of breaks it down in a way that makes it, it's almost as good as like holding one in your hand. I don't know if we'll ever do another one, but we did it because when Joe wrote this book, I was so impressed with this book that we agreed to let him use photographs for it. So,
oh, wow. Now, the book also, they can go to our website and get some information about the book and click on it. It'll take it right where they can purchase it. Hey, John, our time is up. I want to thank you so much. Again, if anybody comes out to investigate that cabin, have them check the property, too, ground penetrating radar.
I will. Yeah. I will. That's good advice. And thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Well, John, I appreciate you coming on. You have a great holiday, will you?
You too. You and James both. You have a good weekend.
Okay, my friend. You take care.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Well, James, we're almost out of time. Who's our guest real quick on next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, our guest is going to be Lloyd Auerbach, a parapsychologist.
So that should be a really good, interesting show. Make sure you tell your friends that we're on YouTube now. We're on every app out there. We're on a few radio stations. Make sure you catch Tuesday's show. Night Dreamers, you have a great weekend that's coming up all day. Again, we're not going to be on tomorrow. We'll be back on Tuesday. Everybody, have a good one. We will catch you later.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.